Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Yankees still facing elimination tonight. Now, it will be a bullpen game for Toronto, and we're going to get our second look at Cam Schlittler in the postseason. So it's going to be exciting to see what he could do off of that great performance. But the Yanks staying alive, a huge game four tonight in the Bronx.
Just a wild night, and hopefully tonight is the same. And Toronto's starting to look a little jumpy here. And it's funny because you and I talked about it a little bit yesterday, not really knowing the answer because we couldn't know. We could only try to diagnose what it might mean. You know, even though the Yankees got stomped on Sunday, those late runs they scored against lower leverage arms with Toronto, you know, did it serve them well last night? Again, I can't prove that, but I'm sure they had a little more juice and a little more confidence entering the batter's box. And if that's the case, well, then you would think they would have even more tonight against lesser pitchers. Now, Bieber's a guy, you know, as you know, and people who really follow baseball know, he's been out for a long time, but there was a point where Shane Bieber was an absolute beast. He was a dog. I mean, you know, Cy Young's, All-Stars, I mean, a Gold Glove, whatever. He's got a really nice resume, as we know. But I thought the Yankees, you know, after some empty at-bats early, locked in, and they look good. So they, is it fully transferable tonight? I don't know, but the Yankees have to be feeling the best about themselves in terms of how they felt really the last 4 or 5 days.
When the Yankees were at their best for years, it would be taking advantage of other teams' mistakes. And in recent years, it was the Yankees themselves who would be making the mistakes and other teams taking advantage of it. Last night, it happened in the Red Sox series as well. We saw it, which was an encouraging thing that the Yankees could win a series by taking advantage of other teams' mistakes and not hitting home runs and overwhelming a team with their power. Last night, it was the same thing against a team that everybody was saying doesn't do this. Well, if they didn't do it, that's fine. They did do it last night, and the Yankees didn't let them get away with it at all. Immediately, the IKF error, the drop pop-up at third base, boom, like the Yankees made them pay. And it was Toronto who was helping the Yankees along. I don't want to say just beating themselves because the Yankees obviously earned that win last night with their bats, but taking advantage of the other team's mistakes and not beating themselves with the Yankees. And now this game, like, to me, I needed to see the Blue Jays prove it that they could beat the Yankees. This is coming into the series. And the first two games, while it was dominant as you could have, from a Blue Jays perspective, you know, lopsided series in the first two games.
Yep.
I still wasn't buying it until I saw them do it against the Yankees in that environment. And when you're up 6-1 and you can't put your foot on the throat of the Yankees and put them away, to me, that is a bad, bad sign for the Blue Jays. And I really, and obviously tonight clearly favors the Yanks. Bullpen versus Schlittler, who's been the Yankees' best pitcher in the postseason, and the Red Hot Bats. I don't think there's any way the Yankees are losing this series now.
I mean, listen, the one thing that this Yankee team doesn't have is the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, previous Yankee championship teams where, you know, they were in the foxhole together and they proved worthy of the belief by coming back from deficits, whether it's in a game late or in a series. So, you know, I think the Yankees will respond well tonight because I think the Yankees, I told Sal yesterday, I think this is the best team top to bottom since 2009. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but all these other teams, yeah, it was fun with the Baby Bombers for a minute, but every other team's been very, very flawed. Even last year's team, despite, you know, Soto and Judge just being two superheroes together. So I what I would like to see tonight, and they haven't had a chance to do it in this series, but it became a part of their game from the middle of the season forward. They haven't done it yet because they fell behind early so big both games. You're not going to run into outs, obviously. But I, you know, if it's a tight game or if the Yankees could get up a run or two early, I like to see the Yankees start running wild on the bases. Now, it's got to be the right guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got, I don't know if Caballero's going to start, probably won't. If Volpe's on base, then he would obviously steal. But I got just a little swerve here. I don't know that I've ever seen a hitter look as bad as Volpe looks right now. Now, he's not bringing that into the field, which is good. And I could not believe it, and I've seen it, but when I heard it last night, at one point it was like 9 for 13, then 10 for 14, then 11. Anthony Volpe, listen to this. has struck out 11 of the last 15 times he's gotten in the batter's box. The bat's flying out of his hands into the dugout.
Check swing.
It's such a... I don't know if he's still injured, and that's not an excuse. If you're playing, then I got to believe that you're healthy enough to do it. But it's almost like an inability to fully physically commit because his shoulder's hurting, or he's trying to change his swing, or he's just a mental mess, or a little bit of everything. I mean, do you consider sitting Volpe down tonight for Caballero?
I haven't thought about that because
he's
of the defense.
Terrible.
The defense has been fine. I don't think that's a major issue. If he starts throwing balls in the dirt again or booting balls, then maybe I'm not messing with the right. And Yankees have had success here in the postseason. They already won a series. Right now, no blood. I mean, the Blue Jays won the first two home games. Yankees won their home game, and I fully expect them to win tonight. So, no, I would not consider that. I would not consider a lineup change. I thought Boone had the right lineup out there last night. I bet on them, literally, because I thought he did the right thing as opposed to being a slave to the reverts, splits, numbers. I know Ben Rice hasn't looked good, but he'll be fine, especially tonight against the bullpen. Like I would bet Ben Rice. I don't usually do this. I would bet Ben Rice at home run tonight.
Did you bet the series? Like talked about that?
No, I didn't do that. I went last night. I did a bunch of like overs and Yankee total, and then I had like Grisham to get a hit with the Yankees to win, over.
Grisham. Good thing there wasn't the catcher's interference. You got a double after that.
I did say I needed that. So, yeah, but either way, like that's the way that I would play because I thought last night was going to be a high-scoring game. The over 8 was a layup for the total in that game. Anyway, point is, I would not mess with the lineup. I think the Yankees are rolling right now. I think this has got to be a game where you get 6-plus out of your starter, hand it over to the better guys in the bullpen, let the bats go to work, 5-6 runs, whatever it is, and keep the loser Blue Jays at bay here because the Blue Jays, until proven otherwise, are in fact losers. Now, they could get right in Game 5, assuming there is one, see if the Blue Jays could get home cooking. I don't see it, BT. I think that they're... You know how... The feel, like the actual series is Blue Jays have a lead 2-1 over the Yankees. The feel for me is that the Yankees are in front and that they lead. And that shouldn't be the case.
But the reality is they're not.
I know. Okay.
I mean, you get one bad start, you get one crooked number early, it's not going to feel that way.
Would you rather be right now the Blue Jays or the Yankees?
I would always take the lead.
Yeah, I would rather be the Yankees. I would always
have a game in my back pocket if given the choice, obviously, and have more room to figure out and get back to who I've been for most of the season.
Right. So it's obviously you'd rather be ahead than trailing. That's not the conversation. The conversation is, would you rather be who I believe to be the lesser team that just had happen to them what happened last night with all the momentum with the Yankees, and I think the Yankees are the better team, and you're down just 2-1. And then you could even say further, even if the Yankees won tonight, would you rather be Toronto in Game 5 or the Yankees in Game 5?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me that on Sunday, I'd say Toronto. I think if we get there, it's going to become a Yankee. It's going to become a Yankee lean. It's going to feel different.
I wonder what the odds on that would be. The actual Game 5, Blue Jays probably be slight favorites if anything. But
well, would it be the kid? Would it be the kid? And would it be Freed? I mean, that's definitely the pitching matchup, right?
I just assume that was going to be the
case. Me too.
But I mean, if they don't use Gausman tonight, then he's going to pitch Game 5. You would think on normal rest and have Yusevich out of the pen.
Correct.
And then you're going to have those two guys. So they could double-team the Yanks with Gausman and Yusevich on Game 5 Friday night.
Yeah.
But maybe it depends on how the game goes today. I would probably, if I'm them and I have a lead, I'm going with Gausman today, and I'm just saving Yusevich for Game 5.
You know, I'll tell you, listen, so much of the conversation sounds about the, and it gets exhausting after a while, but after last night, you got to get back to it. Like the little legacies, the championships, and Judge, and the stories, and all that stuff. You know, again, let's get there first, but if Fried was to deliver a dud in Game 5 after Game 2,
major problem.
He would get crushed.
That's part of it, too, thinking about him bouncing back. I know he's been bad against that team in that ballpark. He's an ace. You got to bounce back.
Hey, $200 million says you better.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steve is calling from Holmdel, New Jersey. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Great talking to you. Sal, I wish as a big Yankee fan, I wish I shared your enthusiasm about the overall series that's remaining and specifically about tonight's game. Obviously, Schlittler completely dominated the Red Sox lineup. And as they would say, this is not your father's Red Sox lineup. That lineup was not a great lineup.
Agreed.
But what troubles me the most is I'm looking right now at the box score from September 5th, a Friday night, when the Yankees played Toronto and Schlittler started against Gausman. And besides the ugly numbers of 1 2/3 innings for Schlittler, 66 pitches, 2 walks, 4 runs, 5 hits, I watched Schlittler not be able to put away any Toronto hitters. It was, I think that was like almost a record for the number of foul balls in that inning.
And he threw almost, he threw almost 70 pitches in 1 2/3, to your point. Keep going.
Yeah, it was, well, like, Brandon, I got the exact number. It's 66.
66?
I'm looking at the box score right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And basically, more than half the guys got on base. And obviously, Schlittler did not have a put-away pitch that was able to get them out. So I think you kind of have Schlittler on a very, very, very short leash tonight.
Let me counter, Steve.
No one expects him to do what he did against Boston the other day, but bottom line is I would be very happy with five innings. I'd like to make one more point, if I may, something that nobody has talked about. And I'm not making excuses for the Yankees. You know, to get to the World Series, you got to win your series. So I don't want to make this sound like an excuse.
Okay.
But I have no idea what Major League Baseball is doing with these brackets. I don't know why the Yankee-Red Sox matchup was predetermined that the winner plays Toronto. Fact of the matter is, the Yankees were a better wild card than Detroit, and Toronto was a better division winner than Seattle. I have no idea why I would have played Toronto.
And thank you for the call, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
It should reset. We talked about that. I think it should reset. I hate the brackets because it's not just because it's the Yankees here. For anybody, it would be unfair. If you're Toronto, why would you want to play the top wildcard team as opposed to the lowest remaining seed? If you had the number one seed, don't you earn the right to take on the weakest team left?
I understand that point.
If the Cincinnati Reds had beaten the Dodgers, the Reds would have been taking on the Phillies as opposed to the Brewers, who had the number one record overall.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is not, like, to me, it's just there's a fundamental flaw in that. There should be a reseeding.
Would it be a logistical thing? I mean, every year is different. So New York to Seattle would be a pain in the ass versus New York up to Toronto or New York Boston.
I don't know
the answer. I don't really think about that stuff too much. Like, I'm usually of the mindset, all right, if you didn't win the division, then whatever the path is, whether it's one game back in the day when Cole got rocked against Boston, a three-game series, or, you know, the team that wins the division, have it all for a week, and then you got to go to their house for the first couple of games for the DS. I don't want to say I don't care, but just go play baseball and perform.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's a small thing. It's not a huge issue. I do understand. Back to the other point that he was making where he said he could wish he could be as confident as I am tonight. Okay, fair enough, because I do agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think the Red Sox lineup was weak, which at least in part led to the dominance of Cam Schlittler. I don't think it's going to be the case like that tonight. However, who is getting the Yankees out? Like, there's a whole nother side to this. So let's just say Cam Schlittler doesn't have it. You think he's going to be worse than Rodon or Fried?
I think he's going to be fine tonight.
Me too. Like,
I really do.
I don't think, well,
he's not going to implode.
You know, okay, Rodon imploded. I don't think he's going to be as good as he was. Even, like, what do you think is worst case for Cam Schlittler? Five innings, four or five runs? All right.
Well, worst case, maybe more four.
Right,
worst case.
Whatever. Who's getting the Yankees out?
Yep.
That's the issue. So it's not that I think that Cam is going to go dominate this Blue Jays lineup. I don't. I think the Blue Jays should score a few runs. I don't think the Blue Jays have any pitching to keep the Yankees offense at bay, which is the only reason why maybe they'd have a chance in Game 5 with Yusavage, who was as dominant a pitcher as I've ever seen. And I'm not even sure that's going to be enough in Game 5. As a matter of fact, I would bet the Yankees right now. So as it pertains to tonight, though, if you think that Cam is going to get hit, who do you think is going to slow down the Yankees' offense? That's my question.
Yeah, and that's an advantage for the Yankees there. I'm looking at the box score now. Yeah, well, 66 pitches for Cam. Which, by the way, the fact that he was out there so fast, I think it's almost, I mean, this is not how you want to obtain an advantage, but if Cam had to face the Red Sox again in that series, because they just saw him and they saw over 100 pitches, it might be, quote-unquote, easier for them to make an adjustment, because this was a while ago and Schlittler was only out there for 1 2/3. The Jays didn't see the entire repertoire. They didn't see good stuff either. So maybe I'm overthinking it, but maybe not. But also, Bichette had 3 hits that night. He's not playing. Vladdy was 4 for 5, but the home run was off Yarborough, not off Cam.
Richard's calling from Massapequa. What's up, Rich? It's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we had to dump that, but you're still there. Go ahead, Richard.
Sorry.
No, okay.
And I was just asking, Aaron Judge came up with a big moment yesterday. Let's all say things go wrong, they lose today.
Yeah.
why are we going to now look at Aaron Judge? Well, let me preface this. He doesn't win a World Series. Why are we going to look at Aaron Judge differently than we do, like, Don Mattingly?
Well, you're assuming that
we all, legendary baseball players.
You're assuming that we all will. Listen, I think that's a really good question. And I think Evan and Tika were going back on it. Rich, thanks for the call there. Evan and Tika were going back and forth on this a little bit. Yeah, I don't even know how it came up.
If he doesn't win the World Series.
Yeah, so if he does, like, why, let's say Aaron retires at the age of 40, 6-7 more years, another MVP or maybe two. Obviously, 500 bombs, Hall of Famer, no doubt. Great Yankee, no World Series. And he would get hit from a reputation perspective. But Mattingly is kind of lifted up by the Yankee fans. Well, I mean, I can answer that. First of all, the wild card format, like if the Yankees had that, they won 98 games and I want to say 85, and they finished second to Toronto. They had the most wins, ironically, the Yankees in the 1980s, and they never made the playoffs really outside of 81 forward. So Mattingly had fewer chances, number one. Number two, we all know, if you watched it, that Mattingly had no pitching. I mean, geez. They brought in Phil Niekro to win his 300th game. You had guys that had, I mean, Pascual Perez, Melito Perez, Scott Sanderson, Chuck Carey, these names that, Sam Militello, that make your head spin. So I think there, and then the injury. So I think that there was empathy and sympathy for that. But you have Cole, you have Freed. I know Rodon's not quite that level, but he's an all-star this year. Think about the pitchers that Judge has had. So I think in a long, twisting way, Judge would get hit by some, not me, by the way, unfairly, because Mattingly had less of a chance to get to the postseason. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the one year he got there, he hit 417.
I think the bigger issue is that Judge is doing what he's doing post-Yankee dynasty, where Mattingly did what he did pre-Yankee dynasty.
That's a good point. You know what?
I think that's actually the biggest thing, because after the Yankees had won all those World Series, the standard was set. They've been in the postseason almost every year. We talked about this, but 5 years, I think, in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to Mattingly, like, yeah, the Yankees were the greatest team ever, but there was a long time in between World Series wins or even World Series appearances. So Donnie was the guy that carried the Yankees through some darker years.
The only reason to watch.
And did it before the dynasty. Once the dynasty happened, everybody after that, specifically Aaron Judge in this case, is going to be held to that championship or bust standard.
I honestly, I think that's an outstanding point. And when you look at, it's a loose translation, but I don't know that it's that different from Carmelo. I mean, think about this. So, you know, Knicks obviously championship was 73. We didn't see it. And then, of course, the Ewing teams were really good, never won. And Carmelo, and you and I, all the things we disagree with, some. I mean, yeah. Carmelo, we could not be more lockstep with the way we perceive his run here.
And it's not a coincidence because we lived through the 90s teams.
Bingo. Younger Knicks fans, that's their Ewing. That's their Mattingly. That's their Judge if Judge doesn't win. So there's an elevation for Melo, even though you and I are like, are you kidding me? I mean, if you watch the 90s, you can't even shine those guys' shoes. So we push back and we resist it, fairly or unfairly. The fact that Mattingly was before the dynasty, after lean years, there was a deeper appreciation. Whereas with Judge, he is in the Jeter prism. He is in the championship prism, and it's different whether it's right or whether it's wrong.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I root for Booney. I want to see him have success. Susan, who I love. I love her on the call as
awesome.
Well. I thought she was great on that call last night. Really capturing the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where you know that's exactly what people are thinking. Everybody in that building has been waiting for that exact moment. And Susan captured that perfectly. So I love Susan. I root for the Yankees to go on. Like, there's a lot. Yeah, and it is good for the station. But I just...
You're going to keep going back to this? Come on. You're not actually going back to this, are you?
What I was
going to
say is, even though I'm not rooting for the Yankees, I do like the idea of the big game tonight. Like, it was fun to go home last night and see what was going to happen. I don't love the way it played out necessarily, but I'm looking forward tonight to seeing what Schlittler can do to follow up. I'm looking forward to the idea. We're just talking about Big Hurls outside. That's why I have a better outlook on these things. Talking about Big Hurls outside. Oh, yeah. Yankees tonight. Yankees. Giants tomorrow.
You're
Friday. No.
That's right. The Giants tomorrow, too.
So think about our sports
Saquon.
Week. I know it was ugly. I know it was ugly on Sunday, but think about our sports week here. These playoff games are the most special thing.
Nothing better than baseball.
Yeah,
nothing.
Last year we had both the Mets and Yankees, which made it even more special. Now it was chaotic, but it made it more special. So you got the playoff games tonight. You got the Giants Thursday Night Football, potential game five.
That's right.
And then if the Yankees win, then you have a whole nother week of ALCS series.
And I know that the much to the chagrin of our buddy Boomer Esiason, the Rangers did not look very good, and they're probably not going to be great, but the Knicks should be right there. I mean, and listen, very quickly, the Knicks will either be awesome and it's going to be tremendous, or the Knicks will hit a bump and they will trade for Giannis. So either way, like, the Knicks run is going to be a lot of fun. And then obviously you would think, as we get to the hot stove, that the Mets will reload their staff. I mean, we complain a lot and we have a lot to complain about with these football teams, but it's the well's not entirely dry.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Dom is calling from Westport. What's up, Dom?
Hey, what's up, Sal, BT? Great talking to you guys always. First of all, I have to, 2 points real quick. Have to agree with you. Smoltz kills me. I'd rather have you no doubt in the booth. Would love to hear you with your enthusiasm. And thank you also for Evan for being out there, because we're 3-0 with Evan being there.
They're out there again tonight. Evan and Tiki will be doing their show again from the stadium. So if that's your thing, thinking awesome. Evan's bringing good luck to the Yankees, there you go.
And he's a loser, but not for the Yankees.
I'm a loser. That's one of my funniest. I love that drop. I'm a loser.
So real quick on, I agree. Schlittler's got, he's got a challenge ahead of him given the first game. But why don't we give it the Savage? Like this guy, we're anointing him like he's Randy Johnson. He pitched a great game. All right. No disputing that.
Yeah.
Like he's Randy Johnson or Roger Clemens in a big game like that. A game five. A guy who I believe was in double A earlier in the year.
No, A-ball.
He's had like 4 starts now. Yeah.
Right. So, I just want to make sure, we're looking at this rationally. And I got to tell you, after being down 6-1, I was a little, I was definitely down in the dumps.
You think?
Watching 30 for 30. Huge Yankee fan.
Where are you now? You think they're going to win the series now?
I think we got a good shot. I think you guys make a lot of good points. I mean, now there's a little pressure on them. The bullpen, we got to give Hill and you got to give Cruz a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They really stabilize it. The back end did great, but they're supposed to, right? I mean, Williams and Bednar, they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys stabilize it. So I'm hopeful. Unfortunately, if there is a game five, I'm flying to Greece with my wife for a 2-weeker. So I'm going to miss it. I'll be up in the air, but hopefully I can catch it on the plane.
Oh, dude, come on. God bless you. Enjoy Greece. What are you kidding me? Yeah, we were just talking about how great the postseason is and all that stuff. If you tell me, hey, Sal, you know what? You go on a 2-week trip to Greece tomorrow.
Yeah.
See ya!
Yeah, what if the Mets are playing, though? You still going? Come on. You're not going if the Mets are playing.
Two weeks to Greece?
Yeah, we almost went to Greece for our honeymoon.
I've never been. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, the economy was a little rough.
Let me ask you. Do I have to take my wife with me or no?
Because
that could change my
answer. You probably got to drag her along. Well, single Sal. Sal made some trips. Where'd you go by yourself? Bahamas?
Bahamas, yeah. Atlantis.
That was Paradise Island. That you did that. And it looks like Evan's kind of leaning into this. He's making it a little bit here. So Evan yesterday tweets, he got a picture, broad snapshot, beautiful, couple of clouds, peppering the blue sky from where they're doing the show. Evan tweets yesterday, we are back again to save the Yankees. All right. 3-0 this season when we broadcast live. And then he gave, 2-725 on the Fan. Mm. And that was yesterday. And he subtweets last night after the game, 4-0, and we're back tomorrow. So he's kind of feeling himself with this, whatever it takes.
Maybe there is something to it. I thought the caller made an interesting point about you, Savage. And he's right. Like, why are we just anointing him? Well, we're not necessarily anointing him the same way that we wouldn't with Cam Schlittler. However, it was such a dominant performance. It didn't allow a hit. Yankees weren't sniffing him. He had, 11 strikeouts in the 5 innings or whatever it was?
I thought it was more than that, actually.
Maybe it was more than that. Whatever it was.
14?
So that's why. Now, I would expect a little bit different result. Maybe the Yankees lay off that splitter the second go-around after working on that machine, after already seeing him the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Toronto's best shot with him in that building against the Yankee lineup that he absolutely dominated. I would expect him to maybe get a hit or two, maybe score a run or two, but of all the pitchers that Toronto has, he's the one guy that I think has a shot to maybe slow down the Yankees.
It's funny how this happens in baseball and more than the other sports. Not that, you know, I mean, there's other guys who come off and hit big shit, like Robert Ori. Wasn't a great player, but had a lot of big moments. And, you know, maybe an obscure player in the NFL, you know, with a pick six, whatever it might be. But generally, you kind of get these stories almost every year where somebody emerges, and we don't know where the destination is going to result. Is it a championship, or are they just going to implode and get, you know, beaten five and just get destroyed by their fan base? I don't know. But I never even knew about this kid until I found that he was really pitching against the Yankees.
Yeah,
much like most people probably didn't know a lot about Schlittler. And if I wasn't in New York and if I wasn't a Yankees fan, I wouldn't know a ton about Schlittler's journey. But it's the way it goes. It's baseball.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I never felt, though, because of the Yankee bats, BT, that they were going to be out of it. I didn't expect the Blue Jays to be booting the ball the way that they have.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I just think it's in their heads now at this point. You got to imagine they're going to be tight tonight, knowing that they're up against it, knowing that they blew what might be their best opportunity to put the Yankees away. Think about it. Blue Jays have to win one more game in the series. They had a 6-1 lead against the Yankees, and they couldn't put them away. What makes you think that now they're going to be able to put him away? I don't. That's why I think the Yankees are going to win this series. But we'll see. Still plenty of work to do. Even though it feels like the Yankees are in the driver's seat, you mentioned it before, they're factually not in the driver's seat.
And now there's a different sound at the stadium. The sound that you heard when Judge clanked it off the fair pole or the foul pole. Off the foul pole. That messed me up from earlier. I think that's going to be more the soundtrack from the get-go. When you're down 2-0, and especially when you get shellacked and you come home, of course you're excited to be back. Of course there's some optimism. But then again, you know, Toronto, home run, down 2. All right, Yankee scratch went out 2-1, whatever. But there's still that trepidation to really jump in with everything you have, because there's a part of you that, number one, you're waiting for something to happen to change how you really feel, but also like the mental gymnastics that we do as fans. And now I think you walk into Yankee Stadium tonight, shoulders back a little further, a little more bounce in the sneakers, a little more swag, because the Yankees looked like the Yankees last night, and Toronto looked fallible.
You go in there tonight expecting to win. Last night I was like,
hoping to win.
Yeah, right.
That's the difference.
And it's a big difference. BT and Sal on the fan. Steve is calling from Bayside. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
What's up, guys? First on Boone, I thought you guys covered it. I didn't think that Boone had a great night. You cannot leave your starter in the game to give up 6 runs, but he always does that. He's always 2 or 3 batters late, and he's been that way since he showed up. And also burning the 2 challenges. But I called about, I really don't think that this series is over like you do, Sal. You know, the old expression about how the momentum in baseball is, tomorrow's starting pitcher. Today, nowadays, that was when pitchers used to go 9 innings. Nowadays, it's whoever's coming out of the bullpen next. That's your momentum right there. And who would have thought going into this series, the Yankees had huge advantages on paper with their starting pitching matchups, and they haven't panned out at all. They have another huge starting pitching advantage today. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, who would have thought that the Yankee bullpen would put up zeros the way they did? Maybe Toronto's bullpen's going to put up zeros today. I don't know.
Well, I mean, nobody knows, Steve, but I'm going to give you logical reasons to why I think that the Yankees are going to win. First of all, I thought the Yankees were going to win this series going away before it started. Okay, so I was already wrong on that with the way that Toronto performed in the first two games. However, last night confirmed why I felt the way that I felt before the series. The Blue Jays had a 6-1 lead on the Yankees, a chance to put them away. And they couldn't do it. They choked it away. IKF with his bobble misplay that cost the Blue Jays early. The third baseman dropping the pop-up. Like, the Blue Jays, you know what, all over themselves last night. That's part of this thing. And now, you could say, well, nobody thought the Yankees bullpen was going to do the job. Yeah, okay. I don't believe the Blue Jays have the arms to keep the Yankees' bats at bay. And by the way, even with the loss, the Yankees have scored now, what, 9 runs last night, 7 runs
last night. 16.
16 runs in 2 straight games.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, okay, well, it was, you know, the bullpen, the bad arms in the Blue Jays bullpen. Yeah, but now they've been using the better arms, and the Yankees got to them last night. So it's not just that. The Yankees' bats have come to life here in a big way.
It's a massive advantage for the Yankees on paper going in strategically. You know, they've got to be feeling good, number one, emotionally. But also, so Toronto's pitchers, and they'll probably have to be used tonight as well, they're better ones. So they'll be a little tired, you would think. And by the way, so will the Yankees. I mean, Williams went last night. Bednar went. Cruz pitched. Obviously, you know, maybe Duvall goes again tonight, whatever. Hill. But the Yankees have also seen them now. They've seen all these arms, and that's an advantage when you see, you know, pitch
Varland's
patterns.
Varland's one of their best guys.
There's no question.
And Judge destroyed him last night, and he's starting the game today.
Listen, I know that you don't care about this stuff, but it really is. No other sport gives you this. I mean, 528 times in 20, and there's a bigger historical number that I've got written down somewhere else. I won't even give you that. But in 2025, there were 528 pitches where the count was 0-2, where the velo was 99+, and the ball was at least a foot and a half out of the zone. There was one home run. That was Judge. Now, what does it mean? Okay, it means it hasn't happened. It was a freakish accomplishment. But I don't know how you can possibly put, and if you see the slow, you see him pull this, and you hear that a lot, pull your hands in. If you're a baseball, pull your hands in. But even when they gave you the slow motion, and my son even said, he's like, how did that hit the barrel? Because the last thing that you saw before they gave you the optic of the ball going in the air, it looked like it was more on the handle. And I'm like, I think it's the next frame where he actually does get the barrel into it. Otherwise, he's not hitting that far. I don't know how he barreled that baseball. That may have been the sickest thing I've ever seen. I know that sounds incredibly hyperbolic and nuts. A foot and a half inside off the middle of the plate, almost 100. That thing should be 0.0% hit and barrel.
Point is, that was one of their best arms coming out of the bullpen, and he got beat. However it was that he got beat. Who's next? Who's going to come out of Toronto bullpen? Like Gausman and even him. I didn't love him coming in. He was very good in game one. Is he going to do that again against the Yankees on the road? The only maybe hesitation that I or anybody else should have is that, well, the Blue Jays are much better at home and it's going to be a totally different environment, which it will. I just think the Yankees are better. And I think the Blue Jays losing the way that they did last night is going to get mentally on them in a negative way.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to live with that and shouldn't be in a game five. And yet there's going to be a game five. You know, assuming obviously what happens tonight. The Yankees lose tonight because their own fault. The Yankees would be beating themselves. There's nothing the Blue Jays are going to do. Like, they'd have to really hit Schlittler. The Yankees' bullpen's going to have to fall apart, and the Yankees' bats are going to... There's no way that that's happening tonight. And if it did, then the Yankees deserve to get ripped, and they're not as good as we thought that they were. Losing a Game 5, you could understand. But I don't even trust that Toronto's going to handle the pressure the right way. Like, there's no guarantee just because one game is there that they're going to win that game. They had their moments in the first two games, and it took everything they had to put the Yankees away in Game 2, even with that, you know, huge lead.
Mm-hmm.
They let them off the mat. When you do that, you're in trouble.
You got to go for the throat. You got to go for the kill. There's no doubt. Pin them when you get the shoulders down. Keep them there. I think that, and I'm guilty of this as well. I am definitely guilty of this as well. We're talking about the Rogers Center like it's the old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Or it's the Garden in the 90s with the Knicks and the Rangers. I mean, let's tap the brakes a little bit here. Because think about this. Think about, even though it's daunting, I'm not trying to minimize it, I'm just trying to contextualize it maybe a little bit better. I mean, first of all, it's Toronto. They've won nothing since the 90s. You brought that up, Joe Carter. I'll touch them all, Joe. It's 93. We're the early 90s, dude. But the other thing, too, is I watched, and we all watched, the Red Sox come into the old stadium, and, all, you know, who's your daddy, all the chants, all the history, curse of the Bambino, Yankees up 3-0. What did the Red Sox do in Game 7 on the most hallowed soil in all the sport? Grand Slam, Vasquez get rocked, Kevin Brown get destroyed, and we watched the Red Sox dance on the Yankees' graves. And really, that changed so much. Even though the Yankees won again in 09, that changed everything about the Yankee-Red Sox dynamic. So if the Red Sox could do that in the Bronx, the Yankees can win one up in Toronto.
Kevin is calling from East Brunswick. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. So I was at the game last night. I brought my wife, who's Canadian, born and raised. She's a Blue Jays fan. Mm-hmm. And we were prepared for the banter and the whatever. She was going to get a hard time. She was wearing a Guerrero jersey. But when the Canadian National Anthem played and the Yankees fans are booing and yelling, go back to your country, not to her, but just in general,
yeah,
it just felt like baseball fans should do better. You know, I don't know. It just
not
didn't
a fan
feel
of it.
Like it was in balance.
Not a fan. No, not a fan. Not a fan. Now, you were there, so you just this is just a guess. So there's 50,000 people in there. How many people were booing? 6,000? 10,000? Okay, about.
No, 12, I want to say it was almost that. It was almost that.
That's a bad look. I'm not gonna excuse that. Bad look by the Yankee fans. Who did it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I don't think that they're... I mean, I don't know. Is it a political thing? I would just assume that it's a Blue Jays thing. But are they making it a political thing?
Yeah, I'm sure that's shrouded in politics, no doubt.
Trying to reference back to going to a hockey game, and I don't ever recall being at a hockey game where the Canadian anthem was booed.
No, neither do I. I'm not saying it's never happened, so basketball, Raptors,
saying,
I don't know.
I'm just saying I don't recall it.
Yep.
Maybe it's happened. Maybe it happened in the whatever they called that thing where they did, you know, the world.
Instead of the All-Star game,
they did it this year.
I forget the name of it. Whatever it's called. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, the equivalent of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's just not something I would feel comfortable doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I would hope that it's just about, well, we're not really booing the anthem necessarily. We're booing the Blue Jays. But it is very disrespectful to another country if you're doing that.
We had Russians standing up cheering the American flag at the end of Rocky IV. I mean, Think about that relationship in the Cold War. We're gonna boo the Canadian national anthem. What are we doing, man?
If I could change,
yous can change.
You all right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.